Is your website pretty?
Mind your business.
Does it work right?
Mind your business.
Can people find it?
I'm on a love magic.
Mind your business.
If you answered no, or kinda, to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening through whatever vehicle of your choice, right off our website at welcometomind.com, on Stitcher, on iTunes, Google Play. Thank you for following us on Pinterest and on Facebook as well. As always, if you have a question regarding website design, function, development, search engine optimization, social media, blogging, whatever, please send us your questions. We'll be happy to answer them right here on the Mind Your Business podcast. Send them to us through our website, social media, however, and we'll address them right here. And this week, we are revisiting a topic. We revisit this once a year, and it's probably my favorite topic. I love this one, and that's low-budget SEO. What if you are an independent business and you know that you have to be found online? You know that you need to be doing things so that you can be found by the search engines. You know that. God bless you. You'll probably need to pay someone like me one day for optimization, consultation, consummization, whatever you need to call it. At some point, it will get to where it's beyond your immediate control, because as you grow, you won't have the time to devote to it in most cases. And also, search engine optimization is way different than it used to be. All of the obvious ideas that come to mind have been overdone by now. So what can you do in the meantime until you can afford to bring on a professional? Well, that's exactly what we're discussing here today, because the worst thing as an independent business is to feel like you can't do anything. And actually, you can. And that's what low-budget SEO is about. What can you do until you can afford to bring on a professional? And there are a few things you can do. Low budget, high impact. As long as you have the time to do it. Time is key here. So let's roll up our sleeves and get right down to the nitty gritty, shall we? Number one, first and foremost, and I've harped on this for the almost 2 years that we've been doing this podcast here, claim your business listing on Google My Business. Now, I'm not here to judge, but it amazes me how many businesses still have not claimed their Google My Business listing. And those of you who have claimed your listing, have you filled it out completely? Video links, hours of operation, contact info, images, all those important points to drive home your business, what you're about, and how people can contact you. Have you verified that it is all correct? Please do not take this for granted, as your information could very likely be incorrect if you've not personally claimed your Google business listing. If you're not sure, then you probably have not claimed your listing. Go to google.com/business. And you can claim your listing today if you haven't already and fill in your correct information. If you have claimed it, it's always worth your time to revisit it and make sure everything is up to date and see if you have anything new that you can add to it. Google My Business, it creates a conflict within me, because as a social media platform, Google Plus, which is where this all kind of began, Google Plus and Google My Business are not prime interaction territory. Interaction happens, but not nearly to the degree that it does on platforms like Facebook, for instance. However, because Google is the prime search engine, Google My Business is vital to your being found online. Simple as that. Google is the search engine that leads the market and holds the most market share. Therefore, using their product offerings is helpful to your online presence. And really, it is just that simple. So for starters, claim your Google My Business profile, www.google.com/business. Now, secondly, do not rely on automatically generated titles and descriptions on your website. Man, titles and descriptions are not the be-all, end-all. Certainly not like they used to be. But they are still vitally important to being found online. In many ways, they lay the foundation for the optimization on your website as a whole, for all your pages. So it's important to not go chasing waterfalls and give some TLC to page titles and descriptions on your website. Make sure they're formatted properly and that they are unique to that individual page or that individual blog post. For instance, if you're a personal injury attorney and you deal with workers' compensation cases, you do not want to optimize a blog post about workers' comp the same way you optimized your specific workers' comp web page, because then they will be competing with each other for the same rankings. You want to differentiate that blog post from the general reference page on your website. When you do blog posts about the various areas of your vocation, make sure that you're presenting different angles and fresh information and perspective with regard to that particular topic. Now, third, make it ridiculously easy to contact you. And this is probably the simplest one of all of them, but make it ridiculously easy to contact you. Truly, make sure that your contact information, whether it is a contact form, your email address, or your phone number, make sure that it's easy to find without someone having to scroll down on every page of your website to find it. It seems obvious, but it's amazing how really simple details like this get overlooked during the website design process. You basically want to make it virtually impossible to not readily see how to get in touch with you. Phone number should be prominent. Any of your contact information should be prominent. I mean, you don't want to be obnoxious about it, but have it right there where it's easy to find on each page. As mobile search becomes more and more prevalent too, this is even more vital as people can quickly call you or message you directly from your website or even from your listing itself. Now, number four, use Google Analytics and Search Console. I love these tools. The Search Console, the artist formerly known as Webmaster Tools. Google calls it Search Console now. They have for not quite a year yet, but getting close to it. Make sure that you have your Google Analytics code implemented on your website properly. Once you do this, it's easy then to verify your site with Google Search Console and then have access to a world of analytics, including your overall traffic, traffic to individual pages in your site, setting up goal conversions and tracking them. It's amazing what's at your fingertips with these tools, yet it is even more amazing how many businesses don't take advantage of these detailed, vital, and free tools. It's really good stuff. Which of your pages is getting the most hits? Which blog posts are most popular? Which blog topics are most popular? How is your traffic compared to last week, last month, last year? You can answer these questions and a ton more with analytics and Search Console, and you can identify trends, you can identify seasonal traffic, all kinds of stuff vital to planning for your overall internet marketing as well. So that's your first four. And now, number five, do not focus on keywords with your webpage content or your blog post content. If you're creating site content and blog post content with the end user in mind, i.e., you're writing with the idea of educating and creating smarter consumers, smarter customers and clients, then rest assured that the proper keywords for that page will occur naturally in your content as they should. Overuse of keywords can kill you anymore. The day of keyword focus, that day has passed. Yes, keywords still do matter, but it's the proper use of them that matters more today, as the Google algorithm has incorporated RankBrain and other methods to better determine the intent of an individual page and therefore all of your web pages collectively, so as to better determine the overall intent of your website itself. Intent is the key here, as the overuse of keywords nowadays only really serves to raise suspicion with the search engines as to whether or not you really are focused on delivering value to your visitors, or you're merely focused on showing up in targeted searches. As long as you're delivering the goods with solid, helpful content, you will get your fair shot at showing up in the searches as you should. And number six, and this kind of falls in with number five as well. Stop focusing on individual keyword searches. It may come as a surprise, but it's the simple truth that this has been an undercurrent for a lot of what we're teaching you on this podcast. You know, for number five, I said don't focus on keywords with your web page content or your blog post content. Some of you may have been asking, well, you know, why do I want to not do that? Well, it's because when you do that, you are focusing on individual keyword searches and you're missing the point. You're missing the intent. If you're too focused on individual keyword searches nowadays, you will drive yourself mad. Just like most of the keyword-centric URLs in your individual business arena, the general keyword-centric URLs have long ago been taken up. The same is true with the individual keyword searches. You've got all of your competition, whether you're national, regional, local, whatever, they're all focused on those general keywords as well. And if that's what you're doing, you will drive yourself mad, seriously. You should focus first on your overall traffic numbers. As you improve your overall traffic volume, you can then use analytics and Search Console to analyze those numbers and find both your areas of strength and your areas of improvement. Yes, of course, you want to rank as well as you can in individual searches, but more importantly, you want to cast a wide net beyond the general ranking terms for your given market. For instance, if you're a psychologist in Jacksonville, Florida, you probably want to rank highly for searches like psychologist Jacksonville or mental health Jacksonville or psychology services Jacksonville. These are more vanity keywords than anything. The reality, however, is that while you may rank highly for those terms, you may notice that you're not getting the number of clicks on your website that you would expect for ranking so high. I mean, there are some of those terms you can rank number one for them and get plenty of impressions, which you can track in analytics and Search Console. But you're getting the ranking, you're getting the impressions, but you're not getting the clicks. You're not getting the activity on your website. And this is because, number one, many people can't spell psychology or psychologist correctly, which skews the search numbers. And also because your target audience is going beyond the general terms and are searching terms like anxiety or depression or ADHD. Because you have to ask yourself, the people in my target market, are they going to be searching for psychology? Or are they going to be searching for individual conditions? Again, beyond the general terms, search terms like anxiety, depression, ADHD, do you have the individual conditions properly represented on your website as they are relevant to the services you offer? And I mean, this is one business example, but think of how this applies to your business and what you're trying to achieve. Do you have pages and blog posts dedicated to these various conditions and their treatment? Examples of how you've helped people with those conditions? You simply must as this serves your audience legitimately, casts a wider net for your search results presence, and ultimately these pages serve to clarify the overall intent of your website to the search engines. Identify these areas that are relevant to your services or products and deliver the specific information necessary for your audience with regard to each of these products or services that you offer. Now, number 7, make sure your website is mobile friendly. And it's easy to check this out online. Do a Google search for the phrase Google mobile friendly test. And you'll find the Google mobile friendly test, and you can find out not only if your website is mobile friendly, but also find out what you need to have your webmaster do to make your website optimized for mobile search. All the instructions will be right there in the results. And while it may seem like just a bunch of gibberish to a webmaster, to a programmer, it's all vital information. Mobile search accounts for over half of organic search these days. So this is really important stuff. And number 8, make sure you have at least 250 words on every page and every blog post. Now, the search engines don't actually count the number of words on a page, and sometimes you may not have 250 words worth of information for a given service, a given product, you know, for that particular page. There are exceptions. Just don't get lazy and make the exception the rule. The search engines don't actually count the number of words on a page, but 250 words is pretty much the threshold for search engine bots to see that you're delivering content to your visitors and you're not just trying to get ranking. In fact, you'd be better served to even set it rather than 250, have your goal to be 300 words, because then you're overshooting and you've got all your bases covered there. This is especially important because of our final point here, and that's number 9, love potion number 9. Remember that the search engines are not there for you as a business. They're there for the end user. This should be the foundation for everything you do on your site. What most businesses lose sight of is the fact that Google itself is a business. Yep. Maybe you hadn't thought of that before, but it's true. Google cannot continue to lead the way with search engine algorithms if they are not delivering the most accurate and relevant results to the end user. If the search results aren't accurate there, then Bing can step in, DuckDuckGo. I mean, you name it. There are competitors out there. Google simply cannot continue to lead the way if they're not delivering the most accurate and relevant results to the end user. And you and I are end users every day in Google search. Think about how you feel. If you do a search and you're frustrated that the top results do not satisfy your needs in that search and they don't deliver the information that you seek, Google has a keen eye for this. If your site or a page from your site shows up in a given search and it's not properly relevant to that search, then in Google's eyes, you're making them look bad. You're hurting their business at that point because you are detrimental to their accuracy, and they don't want your page showing up there. This perspective alone will help you make better decisions with your SEO and your internet marketing as a whole, because your focus will then be in the right place, which is the base foundation of what business is supposed to be: people helping people. How are you helping and educating your visitors? Your people. Thank you for listening to the Mind Your Business podcast, presented by the Minds at Mind Development and Design. Thank you for listening through whatever means you listen. Right off the site, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. Thanks for the love on Pinterest and Facebook. We love your questions. Make sure you get them to us, because we'll answer them right here on the podcast. We appreciate you being here. We hope you found this information to be very helpful. And we will see you next time.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, Thank you for joining us today. And till next week, make sure you mind your business.
Ow! Roadhouse.